otherwise known as Face Nurse Sarah.
My name is Joni. I am the owner of Enhance Cosmetic and Wellness. And together we are joining forces to bring you Scratch the Surface. Welcome to episode one.
Scratch the Surface. Here we are.
How exciting.
So excited. So glad to be here. Feels a little bit like
surreal.
Oh, yeah. How is this even happening so fast?
And this was a conversation we had like a week ago.
About 10 days ago. Yeah. And yeah, like talk about when two energies that just make shit happen come together.
Yeah.
It's amazing how fast you really can pull shit together. And I just think that that's such a testament to being a businesswoman as well. Mm-hmm. You know, how we have to think fast and there's just not really enough time for grey area. And I feel like we're both so similar like that.
Yeah.
It's good. I think we are two very similar people and nurses as a whole. I think any nurse has the same sort of ambition.
When you think critically as well, I guess like even thinking back to in the hospital or wherever you work as a nurse, you do have to think very critically and fast, nimble, on your feet.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're actually totally right. I hadn't even really thought about that, to be honest.
So welcome. Welcome to Scratch the Surface. This podcast, we are going to be talking about sort of all things cosmetic industry, both for nurses as well as doctors out there. But we're delving deeper into the things that people don't talk about.
Things that I want to know, the things that I wanted to listen to on a podcast specific to our industry and I couldn't find. That's ultimately what brought us both here was exactly that. Like, just
what's that saying? If you can't do a job,
if you can't find it.
No, there's a saying that's like about someone not being able to do a job, you just do it yourself.
Just do it yourself.
Yeah, yeah. That's us. Yeah, so here we are doing it. A little bit of an introduction in the episode. We will discuss a little bit towards the end, I guess, what we're going to talk about. By all means, if anyone has any input in regards to what they want to talk about or what they want to know, or if there's something that you're not too sure about and we're not too sure about, it's our mission to delve deeper into it.
Have the uncomfortable conversations that people aren't having.
Yeah.
It's not just you that's not having those conversations. It's not, and yeah, it's just about really opening up those conversations to be a little bit more transparent perhaps. And I think just to create another layer of a community for us cosmetic industry people. And I mean that as a whole, because obviously behind the actual injector, behind the needle, there's still a team as well. So it goes so much, I guess, greater than just in the cosmetic injector's hands, really.
Sarah, tell me a little bit about you. Obviously, I know you. These guys probably don't.
Yeah.
But tell me who you are, where you've been, where you come from. Why are you doing a podcast?
Yeah.
Well, look, a little bit about me. My name is Sarah, affectionately known as Face Nurse Sarah. I've been nursing for about 23 years. If you do the maths on that, I'm about to turn 85. That's good.
For TGA rules, we can't say what she's had done.
There's going to be a lot of that thrown in.
We will talk about our beautiful friend TGA.
We will. We'll get to that little beast. But, yeah, so I was an enrolled nurse for 6 years before going on and doing my RN. And I've got to say, I actually fell into nursing, and even how I fell into nursing, where I was a checkout chick.
Were you? Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
I worked at IGA like when I was 13.
I was Bilo, like back in Bilo. Yeah, it was even before you were probably even born to be honest. Probably. Like, it was 24 years ago.
Oh, yeah, I was two. Yeah.
And yeah, it was my lunch break, and I just got my license. And I had my little laser, my little forward laser, and I was like, I'm just going to go up to the local uni in my lunch break and suss out what courses were on offer. A little sidestep to that. I always wanted to be a vet, but I didn't actually have much of a tertiary education, so we'll get to that another day too. Honestly, it's sometimes such a wonder how I even got this far in life.
But we're here.
We're here. So I went up to the local uni, got all of these leaflets given to me about what different courses they had on offer. And the lady said, well, we've actually got an exam tomorrow for getting into nursing, into enrolled nursing. And if you get over 80%, you'll start next week. And I thought, oh, okay. So off I went the next day, back up to the local uni and sat this exam thinking, I don't know how I'm even going to pass this exam.
Yeah, with no nursing experience whatsoever.
Like, but also, as I said, very little tertiary education. I did not go to high school. Well, I did. I was in and out of schools. So,
story.
Yeah, it's a big story, I tell you. So I went and sat the exam, and then I think just literally the next day they rang and said, congratulations, you start nursing on Tuesday.
Holy crap.
At this point, I also lived out of home, was 19, had to work full time, stacking shelves and checkout chick, just to make my life and ends meet. And I was thinking, how am I now going to be a full-time student, TAFE student, and also pay for my life? How's this all going to work?
Life back then was so different as well. Like, so different. We didn't have, like, loans on abilities to help us pay. Like, you look at university now, you've got
taxes.
No, there was absolutely none of that. And, yeah, I don't know. I kind of, as you do, I think, well, whenever your back's against the wall, you just make shit happen, you know. Yeah. And I did, and I worked whenever I wasn't studying, and yeah, that was my new life.
I love that. Yeah. And here you are now.
And then fast forward, most of my enrolled nursing years, I was working agency, and I worked a lot for a community palliative care. Hello to Mercy Palliative Care out there. And it was looking after people in their homes that wanted to stay at home and have their last wish of dying at home with their loved ones.
So how did you go from that to then going into cosmetics? It's such a different...
We've got like 20 years, you know, of all of the in-betweens. But once again, it wasn't really... Was it really... I don't know if you'd call it a decision, but it was... I had something that piqued my interest. So fast forward then, I was Airbnb-ing my apartment out. That's how I was then making some extra cash on the side. So this is now...
Mate, you've been a business go-getter from like...
This would have been 8 years or so ago now, because then I'd Airbnb'd my place out and I needed to stay somewhere and I was sick of staying on friends' couches. So I Airbnb'd myself just a bed, you know, in a house effectively with someone else there. So anyways, I checked in and I got talking to my Airbnb host, and she just started doing this course in cosmetic injectables.
Oh, yeah.
And so we just got talking, and then the next thing, and hello to Donna out there. I know that she will be listening. I owe so much to you for, you know, even inspiring this journey of mine. So, yeah, basically then went on to the information evening and then roll on. Here I am just going into my eighth year.
Wow. Well done. Yeah. I love that.
That's a little bit of the journey. We'll go into more about, like, where I went from enrolled nursing to then I had a very successful career in my nursing life, including being an ANUM of a 35-bed oncology ward by the age of 30. And, you know, back then that was a really big deal. It was also really, really scary, you know, managing people and, you know, all of that. So
oncology as well. I couldn't do it.
Quite the time. And yeah, going back to working for Mercy Palliative Care as the enrolled nurse, 6 years after doing that, I knew that I loved nursing, and I went to my manager and asked, how do I guess go further in my career? And she said, you've got to go back to uni and do your RN.
Anyone who asks me as an EN, how do I be an injector, or how do I go into, and I'm like, this field, I'm like, go back and study your RNs. Oh. Go back and study. You have to be an RN in Australia to do obviously aesthetics anyway, but I get so many people go, oh, but I want to do what you do. Like, I've just come out of university, I come out of school, and I'm like, go to university. There's nothing else you can do at the moment. So if you're listening and you want to do what we do in the aesthetics industry,
we'll get to it because I've got a lot to say on that matter too. It's a very changing landscape. Absolutely. Can you imagine going off and starting your journey now? Like, how would you honestly really go about?
This is what I thought this morning.
How would you seriously go about getting into this field now?
Clients.
If you are just out of nursing, you've just finished your
diploma, your grad.
Your grad, yeah. And you're like, I want to do cosmetics. We need to do a deep dive on what each of us would do, because honestly, I just don't think it would be easy at all.
I say this to people who come and see me at work who have been registered nurses for gosh knows how long, and they're over the night shifts. Mm. They want to start a family. They're like, I really want to go into like a 9-to-5 or do the aesthetics or go into something like that. And the first thing I say is, it is hard now. The industry is very much saturated.
Mm.
The social media and getting clients, again, something that we would discuss, that again is hard.
Yeah.
And I just think there's a very negative stigma around the aesthetics industry at the moment in regards to, oh, well, you're a nurse, not a doctor.
Yeah. I definitely agree. But I also think that there's another layer of, this isn't really just a point and shoot and everything will be okay.
Yeah.
I'm very passionate about that, what we do and how we create the results that we do. It actually takes creativity.
Correct.
Creativity of thought and processing and planning.
It is not just coming to work, 9-to-5.
Multimodality, having all of those modalities at your fingertips, especially now compared to even, say, 5 years ago, you know, just with how far we've come with what we can do and achieve as far as facial aesthetics goes. It's not all learned. It's not textbook. It's not all learned.
No, and I think we will obviously touch base on this, but I also think people see social media, per se, for me, for example, and they go, oh, the glitz and
the
holidays. Sarah's going to Bali for like the third time this year on Sunday. So, look, that was me.
I work hard. I also have not had a break since like February. And I am hustling hard this week to get me on that plane.
People don't know that. And this is what I say to people. And it's like, do not look at Instagrammers or business owners as, I want that.
Yeah.
That's fine and well if you want that, by all means. But it is hard. It is very hard, and no one sees the late nights. I was up last night editing videos till midnight, but I didn't put that on my socials.
Well, it's not even that. It's the stress. There's so many other things. Things that we're going to discuss on that topic are working in a clinic on your own.
Mm.
How are you going to manage if a client faints in your treatment chair? How are you going to cope if they have a reaction? How are you going to cope with anything that can happen behind a closed door of a clinic on your own?
Mm.
And that is where I also really am quite strong on, you need to have at least.
Thank you.
At least 3 years of full-time acute nursing. And I think also with a little sprinkle of emergency medicine in there just to get your acuity skills.
I could not have said that better.
I just think it's imperative.
You come to me as a brand new qualified registered nurse, just finished university, and you want to go into this field, the first thing I'll tell you is go do your graduate diploma in hospital somewhere, rural, even if you have to.
Your grad year?
Yeah, your grad year, sorry. And some in emergency.
Yeah.
Because if you have an allergic reaction, if you have...
just any emergency.
You would think universities would teach you this, and probably if you delve in deeper, they probably do. But if someone faints in front of you, can you automatically switch that nurse's brain on and go, boom? I've had it in here. People have fainted.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So but I will never forget, even when my client... Look, I must admit, touch wood, I've only had a couple of instances, I guess, that would be emergency, but it's just being able to think quickly and Being critically minded.
Ward nursing.
A&E nurse of 1999. Yeah. You know, we've got a code blue over here, and all of a sense, I get this like rush of calm and right, who's scribing, who's doing this, right? You're on oxygen, you know, like it's straight back into it. But if you were a green nurse coming straight into this, you probably wouldn't return the next day. And that's what I just think.
I think you would return. I think you'd be anxious.
Yeah.
Anxious. Yeah, I think. But again, I think that's a whole different episode going into cosmetic industry from an RN to a cosmetic injector.
Yeah, absolutely. And like everything that we're saying is not to put you
chasing your dreams. We want 100%. We love what we do, and we voice it.
Absolutely. It's just go for it, but get all of the information. And that's another thing, how freaking hard it is to get all of the information before you've even decided if you want to do it.
Yeah.
So we'll come back to this one. We're going to park it.
We'll come back. Yeah. I'm going to go off what you said in regards to how you got into nursing.
Yeah.
I fell into it too, which is so random. Never in my life did I think I wanted to be a registered nurse. Never in my life did I think I wanted to do nursing.
Yeah.
I actually went to an open day at university when I was in year 10 to be a physiotherapist.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted to do. Back then we had an OP system. Were you familiar with the OP system? It's like when you go to university, you go to finish school and you get a score graded.
Okay, yeah.
They don't have it now. They changed it.
Did you go to school here?
Yes.
In Brisbane too.
Switchway. So yeah, I went to high school out that way. I then studied out at ACU, Australian Catholic University. But when I was in year 10, we had a day off and it was open days.
Yeah.
And I was like, there was a group of us that wanted to go to ACU, and you got ranked from an OP 1 to I think 20, 20 being the worst, 1 being the best. There was no one in my school that got an OP 1, but physiotherapy was OP 1.
You got OP1.
No, did I? Fuck. No way. I didn't even make it past 10, so don't even. No, but to be a physiotherapist, to get access to go into that, you had to have an OP1.
Right.
And this is what annoys me, because OPs are now gone. They don't do OPs. They still grade you. I'm not too sure what. But it went off a median score of your school.
Yeah.
So private schools, they used to, this is so off topic, but private schools used to sit you down and go, if you're excelling in all of your subjects and you want to sip an OP, sit it. But if you're not excelling in your subjects, think about it. Do you really want an OP?
Yeah.
Because if you go in and you fail, you will push the medium score bracket down.
Yeah.
My school didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
So everyone just did an OP. And I think back then it was like the more people you had OP, the better.
Yeah.
So everyone's score, and this is not an excuse of how poorly I did as an OP, but I got a 17, no, a 15 or 14. I don't know. It was that long ago. Yeah. And nursing was the only thing that would accept me.
We'll take you, Jodie Church. Yeah. We'll take you.
Oh, you got to have me now, to be fair. So, yeah, it wasn't a physio. Then I thought maybe go into, biomedical science or sports science and crossover. I did 3 days of sports science and I hated it. And I was like, this is physics and maths.
Yeah.
And I was like, not for me.
Yeah.
I was like, nursing it is. Yeah. I was like, my mom. And at the time, we weren't citizens, so we couldn't claim HEX. So it had to be paid. And my mum was like, you have to go to university. Like, it's been paid. We need you to study.
Yeah.
So you've fallen into nursing.
That's how
off she goes with her fresh backpack and her little.
Pretty much. And I had lost my will to live. ACU from where I was living was about an hour and 20 minutes drive.
Wow.
And that was a commute I had to make. And if I didn't have my license, which at the time I didn't, I was having to catch 2 or 3 trains and buses and have to leave super early. So I got my license, failed the first time, got it the second time. I think I got my license 3 days before my first class. So my little Holden Barina, straight to university. And from the moment I stepped in to my tutorial and my lectures, I was like, this is for me. I was like, this life has a way.
Yeah.
And I knew that me probably not getting the AP was not life telling me that you're supposed to be nursing, but
it led you to where you were.
And then, so I did 3 years at university, Loved it. I was really lucky with all my placements. I got prison mental health. I got children.
Yeah, I did some prison as well.
Emergency. So I felt like I had all areas. Yeah. So I was really lucky. There's a lot of people who do it who only get aged care and who only get kids, and they don't know what general ward nursing is.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I loved general ward nursing. I really genuinely do. And I got a graduate program out at Ipswich Hospital in orthopedics, and I was there for probably about a year, 2 years. And then I transitioned to emergency and I did that for a year. And I loved ward nursing, but this was in the brink of like COVID was just being mentioned. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to be here. So I went and studied further into cosmetics. Right. And I got a job with a company, a Brisbane company. And I was there for 4 years and I was sort of in and out. I was sort of like doing a couple of days in emergency and a couple of days working in the cosmetic world. And then COVID hit and I was like, I just can't do two things. I was like masking up at work in emergency and then coming to work and trying to be like, oh, COVID's not a thing, even though I knew back in the hospital it was a thing. And, and no one had panicked yet.
Yeah, panic hadn't set in, but it was on its way.
It was very, very close. And I'd had a conversation with my old employer, and he has like, you need to pick one. And I just knew going back and forth that cosmetics was my thing.
That was really
nice. And fast forward now, a couple of years later, we've got Enhanced Cosmetic and Wellness. And I love it. It's the best thing. Don't get me wrong. Like we've said, it's hard and it's been strenuous and tedious. Yeah. And I definitely think some days I want to throw in the towel, but I think that's business owners as a whole. Yeah. And I guess that's another episode we'll probably touch on is like what has worked and what hasn't worked.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, the rewards, sure, we're going to talk a lot about our challenges, but that's what I think we all sort of really need to hear. But we also all are very aware of the rewards of having our own clinics, our own businesses, or just working in this space. There's no doubt about that. Otherwise, we wouldn't go through the shit.
Yeah.
You know?
There's definitely rewards.
The rewards always way outweigh any of, well, I don't know, sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, honestly, you're giving me more grey hairs than this is worth sometimes. Anyways,
I worked for a company, I did my coursing and then I worked for a company for X amount of years and I just had reached that point where I'm like, I want to go out on my own.
So how long into working for somebody else was it?
3-4 years.
Yeah, right.
A while. Yeah. Yep. And I feel like I needed that 3-4 years to go out of, even if you do your course and then you go straight into owning your own clinic. It is difficult. I learned more on my first day at my job than I did in my course.
Yeah.
It's like driving. First day of driving is the first day you have no one in the car.
Tell me if your experience was anything like mine of from the time I did the introduction of the course that I did for getting into cosmetic injectables. I was absolutely sold the dream of how easy this would all be. You know, just go door knocking, find a beauty salon or even a hairdresser's or anywhere that you can find a beauty room to then work out of and then, you know, get your family and your friends in for a treatment and then your business will grow organically from word of mouth. Oh, my God. Like, sure, to some extent that may work, but do not get hung up on that as gospel of that's how you're going to succeed. Mm-hmm. You got to do a lot more than that. And like for me, even as a very experienced registered nurse and also having sort of had my own business before, I'm pretty up and get 'em. But even I was like, you know what? I need more experience in a clinic that is going to, I'd say support, but also, well, mainly support me with getting the clients in the treatment room. Yeah. I needed the clinical time and I just wasn't getting anywhere near enough clinical time being on my own. And that slow build of working even, I mean, think back to when you very first started, like you might do a couple of clients a week. That's a very slow build and very hard to get your confidence, speed and knowledge up. Compared to if you're thrown in the deep end in a busy clinic where you've got 10 clients for the day, that's what I then opted to do was to go and work for someone else just to get my experience up. And by far the best thing I ever did ever. Absolutely.
Not only experience of being a registered nurse in a hospital, going back to that topic, but when you're in this industry, if you would like to go out on your own, by all means do so. But if I was going to repeat my life and repeat my occupations, I'd still go back and experience.
Yep. 100%.
You have to. Yeah.
To build that clientele, to build that rapport.
Yeah.
And to have someone to fall back on, which sounds so bad.
Yeah.
But if something did go wrong, which again is another episode in itself, but if something did go wrong, you had people who were more experienced than you that would be like, it's okay.
Yeah.
Don't panic.
Yeah.
Totally. This can happen. If something like that had happened to me on my first day, I'm packing my bag. Yep. See you later.
But hey, on that note, also would love to hear from anyone that has built up their clinic from the ground up. So straight out of learning the drill of being doing cosmetic injectables to now having their own successful clinic that they started from scratch. Because honestly,
well done.
Well done. In any landscape of whatever year it was that you started that, that is such a huge feat.
Yeah. And it's a big achievement too. Yeah. Not a lot of people go, I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I'm glad I had that experience. And people go, oh, Jodie, do you wish you started earlier? Like you wish you went out on your own? And look, in the grand scheme of things, I probably wish I did start earlier, but was I prepared for it?
Yeah.
No, no way. And I'm glad I waited the 3-4 years before I made that decision. It was something I always wanted to do.
Yeah.
I just had to make sure I was ready to go
out
on my own. Not even from a cosmetic nurse's side, but from a business.
Like, how are you going to survive? I mean, unless you've got someone, I guess, helping you to survive. Like, I just couldn't imagine putting myself under that stress of, you know, you need income. I need income to survive.
Yeah.
Unless my cat and dog start doing, I've tried my hardest to get them into a modelling career, but, you know, that takes time too.
Yeah, no, not happening.
So I guess what I would like to be bringing to listeners' ears from Scratch the Surface is things that we can do to be bettering our business, whether that be from a functional point of view, like the back end, so more like systems, but also what we can do even better in the treatment room. And I'm not just talking about assessment skills and those sorts of things. We hear about that stuff until the cows come home, let's face it. But it's more just other thought-provoking topics that do come to mind. And I know that these are things that people aren't discussing because people that I do discuss these things with, they're like...
But business and cosmetics, even though you own a cosmetic business, teaching is so different.
I just don't know if I... Yeah. Me and in a training role, I don't know.
I tried it. I loved it. I loved teaching people who were eager, new things. I just found myself as a very much like a give it here, I'll do it thing.
I think that would be me.
Yeah. I'm so like hands-on and I'm so OCD that I'm like, don't worry, I'll just take it. And they're not going to learn anything.
So my other thing is I still love treating clients.
Yeah.
I still love my one-on-one with clients. And that is not changing. It's not changing anytime soon. My passion is probably more lit for that contact with my clients than ever before.
Mm.
So that flame ain't going, but I am looking towards my future and seeing what else I can bring to the table. So here I am.
I think for me, and I guess we've spoken about this, it is discussing things that people don't want to discuss.
Mm.
And that ranges from how to start a business, how to run a business, but also in regards to the cosmetic industry, things that are off topic. And there's a lot of big shots out there and they're doing well and I love that. But there's a lot of smaller people who have got small businesses who don't want to ask the questions because they think they're inappropriate or they're worried someone's going to bite their head off. And I think you're correct at saying that there isn't anything like this out there.
Yeah.
There isn't a platform or a sense of community where people who feel unsure can listen to someone and go, it's okay.
Yeah.
Things are a little bit crazy right now. Things are, your books may not be busy or cash flow not may be there, but it's nothing to be upset or embarrassed about. It's going, okay, we know what's wrong. How can we fix it?
Yeah.
And that's coming from two people who have been there, who are still going to be there. And I think that's where I bring back to the social media side. It's like, it's not all sunshine and rainbows. Sometimes if you need to watch where you spend and watch what you, or if you're not eating out and things like that, that's okay. And I guess that's what I want to get out of this, is it's to talk about things in regards to quiet books or having a little bit of a down moment and going, oh, is this really for me? If you've gotten that far and you've started an injectable business and you've got clients coming in through the door, don't give up. Like we've said, it's not easy. It's definitely hard, but it is worth it in the long run. And I think this will be a reminder to people that it is okay. If you're feeling down, just find your spark back again.
And I guess also just to know that this is your new safe zone, so to speak, to go to. This is your safe space. Our DMs are always open and they're only seen by us. We just, I guess, want to also provide a little bit of an empathetic ear to our industry, because I'll be honest, other than my peers that I've become friends with, and I'm a pretty out there kind of gal, I wouldn't go running to many people in our industry. I do find that sometimes it can be really quite ego driven. And if I could just cut through that shit with a knife and say, you know, just a little bit of a change in tone of voice, or a little bit of softness, a little bit of extra kindness wouldn't go astray.
I think it's getting better.
I definitely
From when
agree.
I started 5 years ago to now.
When
I used to go to like events or nursing events for suppliers, I used to be petrified because I didn't know anyone. I didn't know who these people were. They had no idea who I was. And I was intimidated. And I knew that I was good and I was happy and I was healthy and successful, but they're looking at me, noses down, and going, who's this? Why is she invited to this? And now I've stepped back and I'm like, there are people like that now who are probably in my position that I was 5 years ago. So that's why I always mingle and make friends and things like that. But I think it's getting better.
You need as many friends in your corner in this industry as you can possibly have. Because they also become your absolute besties.
And they also become your lifesavers when your product doesn't arrive and you are in panic mode and you've got 12 clients and you have got no products to do anything. And you're on the phone at 7 a.m. going, I have to drive 3 hours, or do you have a spare vial of something?
And that happens to me regularly.
Me too.
Yeah,
me too.
I mean, it just happens, you know. So if we can provide a little safe haven community,
that's
even just to one person, like, that's a huge impact.
We don't care.
Time.
We'll happily sit here and talk to ourselves, to be honest.
And on that note.
But that's what Scratch the Surface is about. It's about community. It's about bringing people together. And it's about information, I guess. And talking about it, not leaving it in the shadows. We are finishing every episode with an ins and outs for the week. So, Sarah, tell me a little bit about your in and out of the week.
I'm just going to go with this morning and what happened this morning and how it could have completely changed our entire day and even really producing this first episode. So, unfortunately, there was a change of plan in the podcast studio that we were going to use this morning, which inevitably would have cancelled today's recording. And as you can probably appreciate, we don't have a lot of time in our schedule to replan these things. So we had it in for today. It had to get done today. So we did take matters into our own hands. And here we are. We went to the shops, got all the things that we needed just so that we could bring you this episode. And I guess, like, the point of this story is these things happen. These things happen every day in business and running your own show, and especially when you have to rely on others. I do think that that's where things can get really challenging. So for me, my take home, as soon as I saw Jody, I was like, we've just got to take things into our own hands, our own responsibility as much as possible to keep the control where we have it most. So So that's my greatest take home, is to keep things in your control as much as possible, not rely on others.
Yeah.
How about you, girl?
I guess my in for the week is routine. It's routine. Get up same time every morning. Make sure that my paperwork's done before I get to work. Anyone who's in this industry knows how vital it is to make sure that your orders are in on time so they come the next day. That is something that I have not done this week. And I am chasing my tail and I have the busiest rest of the week. And I know that if I had just been more organized and was more in a routine, I wouldn't have this problem. So routine is in and disorganization is out, I think.
Though in saying that, it's not so much about disorganization sometimes. As we know, we can go through more product than we ever would have thought in a day, and we can also have vice versa. So these things happen outside of our control from the perspective of a booming business.
Yes.
And being great at what we do. Yes. And sometimes they're just out of our control.
But that is something we will touch on this podcast, is that it's not always smooth sailing.
This is the other, like creating more of a community where we can lean in on each other to get us out of the shit when we need to.
Much.
So on that note, I think it's fair to say today we came, we saw, we scratched the surface, and we can't wait to bring you more from myself, Face Nurse Sarah,
and Jodie, Enhanced Cosmetic and Wellness.
Over and out.